All right, if you got your Bible with you, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I'm really excited. I'm really just humbled by what God's doing in my own life and what God's doing in our church. And just want to invite you to just really lean in this morning and receive in a fresh and a new way what God wants to speak to you, what God wants to do in your life, what God wants to do in your heart. As I was just preparing to turn the calendar to 2018, and hopefully you've heard me share this a time or two before, but the Lord just began to speak to me, and he began to just say, this is a season where I'm calling you, and I'm calling the church to draw near and to grow close and to go deep in God. And I just want to encourage you, that's an invitation for you. That is God's invitation to you as a son or a daughter of his, to draw near to him and to grow closer to him than you've ever been before. And to go deeper into his heart for you and his hope for you and his purposes for you. And listen, I'm just encouraging you this morning that wherever you are in your relationship with God, wherever you are, whether you're close to God and you're intimate with him or whether you're far from him and separated from him, he wants to take you. He wants to draw you nearer and he wants to bring you closer and he wants to take you deeper. There's more for you. There's more for you. Hear me this morning. There's more for you. I want it to come alive on the inside of you, to be embraced in faith. It's more than just pastor speak this morning. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. There's an invitation from the heart of the Father to you as a son, to you as a daughter, to draw near and grow close and go deep in God in 2018. And listen, I just tell you this morning, there's really only three options. You're, at the end of this year, you're going to be closer to God. You're going to be stuck in the same place as you are today, or you're going to be be further from him. And I'm just telling you, there's only one of those that's acceptable to me. And it's growing closer to him. It's knowing more of his heart. It's knowing more of his word. It's knowing more of his will. It's knowing more of his ways. It's knowing more of my identity in him and the anointing and the authority that he's made possible and available to me as a believer through Jesus Christ. And so I'm just telling you, lean in this morning and trust that God's going to speak to your heart. You know, this flower arrangement right here on the platform is a flower arrangement from the celebration of life of a really, really, really special woman, Pat Timmons, who went to be with the Lord this last week. And have you knew Pat? We're blessed to have known her. Listen, I just was watching, just looking at it this morning, grateful that they thought to bring it. Thank you for that, Pam. And just mindful of just the seasons of life and just the brevity of this life that we've been giving on this side of eternity. How many know you were created for eternity? But God's given each of you a life to live out in this earth, to bring glory to God and to make a difference for his kingdom and to reveal Jesus to others. And you're not guaranteed tomorrow. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. Listen, we're not even guaranteed our next breath. And so I just want to encourage you, whatever you've been waiting on, whatever you've been waiting for, whatever you've been hindered by, trust the Lord to begin to speak into that and begin to break you free and to begin to break you loose, to begin to get about the life that God's created you, the race that God's called you to run this very day. So would you just, in that atmosphere, would you pray with me this morning? I'm going to pray over you and over us as a church family, but right where you sit this morning, whatever you're up against this morning, wherever that, whatever I just shared, wherever you fall in that, whether you're far from God, you're and isolated and separated, and maybe even just pushing him away from your life, or whether you're near and close to him today, let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to us and lead us into the next that he has for us. Amen? Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your presence, and we thank you for your power. We thank you for your purposes for our life, God. And we thank you that you're here in this place. Your word says where even just two or three are gathered, you're there in their midst, God. And so how much more? You're here today, God. And Lord, we open up our lives and our hearts before you, Lord. We pray that our minds would be alert to receive your word, God, and our hearts would be open and soft, God, that our hearts would be fertile soil, God, for the things that you desire to speak to us corporately, for the things you desire to speak to us individually, for the things that you desire to reveal to us, for the things that you desire to remind us about, God. We pray that we would be fertile soil. We're here in this place, Lord. And I hope this just causes, again, for this to just penetrate in faith in your heart. We're not here by accident. We're here by design, and we're here with intention to meet with our God and to honor and worship you for what you've already done. and to lean into the next things and the next seasons and the greater things that you have for us as part of our purpose and destiny that you created and saw for us before the foundation of time. And we thank you, Lord, again, for your presence here today, revealing things and reminding things. We invite you, Holy Spirit, speak to us and lead us into truth. Convict us where we need to make adjustments and where we need to repent of things and where we need to take steps into more of your heart and your word and your will and your ways today in Jesus' mighty name. And come on, all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. All right, last week we read the entire chapter, 1 Samuel 17, and I'm not going to read the whole thing again this week, but I want to pick up in verse 8 and just continue to ask the Lord to draw some truths and some principles out of this passage that is about David and Goliath. Come on, sometimes we just need to get back to the Sunday school Bible stories and just ask God, the things that we studied in Sunday school, we need to revisit as adults and ask God to show us truth about how to live our life today, amen? So picking up in verse chapter 8, it says this, 1 Samuel chapter 17, Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. "Why are you all coming out to fight?" he called. "I am the Philistine champion. You are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves." Come on, there's a battle over your freedom. There's a battle over your freedom, and the stakes are high. "I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me." When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. Come on, the giants in your life are going to try to shout you down and cause you to be intimidated and fearful, to shrink back and hold back from the victory that God's preparing you to walk in. Fast forward to verse 32. Just scroll down there and they'll put it up behind me. Verse 32, and David's on the scene now. David's on the scene now. Come on, he said, the enemy's about to get what he asked for. Send me one man. And David's on the scene now, and he says, "Don't worry about this Philistine," David told Saul. "I'll go fight him." And Saul replied back and said, "Don't be ridiculous. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth." Come on, you're going to have to overcome voices of doubt and discouragement if you're going to walk in the victory that God's called you to. But David persisted. Come on, we need some persistent people of faith. He persisted, and he said, "I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats," he said, "and when a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it." Come on, say, "I go after it." Come on, say, "go after it." Come on, say, "go after it." "With a club, and I rescue the lamb from its mouth. And if the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw. I club it to death. I've done this to both lions and bears." Come on, somebody say, "lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my." "And I'll do this to the pagan Philistine, too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine." Fast forward to verse 45, and it says, David replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied, and today the Lord will conquer you." And verse 48 says, and as Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran. Come on, say, "quickly ran." Come on, say it again, "quickly ran." "Out to meet him, and reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead, and the stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell face down on the ground." So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and only a stone. Listen, I believe it's a season in your life, in my life, in our life as a church, and over our city and over our nation, where God intends to use one man, one woman who will step out in faith and believe that God is who he said he is and will do what he said he will do to bring some giants back down. I believe God wants to cause some giants to fall. But can I just share something with you? It's interesting, as I've been reading this, you know, Pastor Richard Went Hinojosa, who was here as our special guest, the Activate Week, and if you were out of pocket, out of town, whatever it was that kept you from being here, I encourage you to go and listen to those messages Sunday morning the 14th and Sunday evening the 14th. And he took us to 1 Samuel 17, and the Lord just started unpacking some things, and I've been staying there studying it. It's interesting how the Lord's been causing me to focus on the pretext of the giant story. The Lord's been speaking to me more about the first part of the story, the preparatory seasons in David's life, the lions and the bears that he encountered, that is it possible God was even bringing into his life to train him and prepare him for the day that God would connect him to a greater season of purpose and the giant would come falling down. And I just want to encourage it. There are almost always processes associated with walking into God's promises. There's almost always a process of faith. There's almost always a season of preparation. There are almost always lions and bears that God will bring into your life to train you and prepare you for that moment that you're called spiritually to step on the scene and bring down a giant. And listen, some of you, you got lions and bears. You got lions and tigers and bears, oh my, in your life. And you, I said this last week, but it bears repeating. You think you're in trouble. You think you're in trouble. Your perspective is, oh, Nelly, I'm in trouble. But God sees it as you're in training. You need to start seeing these things that God's brought into my life. Nothing happens by accident. God's preparing me. And he's giving me just enough that I can handle right now. And he's allowing me to defeat some of these lions and tigers and bears so that I can be prepared when God calls me to step out and bring down a giant. I'll have the faith to know if he delivered me from the lion, if he delivered me from the bear, this giant is not too tall that he cannot fall. And so there's just no way around this. This is kind of cheesy preacher stuff. So I'm just going to own it as such and just kind of just tell you, like, I kind of see it as such. But, I was reading this and I just started seeing Dorothy and Toto, you know, and lions and tigers and bears, oh my, and that's a good strong, there's a strong Kansas theme, you know, kind of woven into all that, right? Yeah, we're not in Kansas anymore, right? So lions and tigers and bears, and I was just thinking about that, and I'm just telling you how it happened in my spirit. I was just thinking about that, and this just popped in my spirit. Liars and fires and cares, oh my. Instead of lions and tigers and bears, liars and fires and cares, oh my. And the Lord just started unpacking for me how these are things that come into our life to try to keep us from having the faith to step into our destiny. Liars, doubting voices, lies from the enemy, deceptions, fires, trials and tribulations that you never expected to come into your life, and the cares of this world, the things that the world says really matters, that really in the end of it all aren't going to be lasting, that draw away our attention and our time and our resources and our energies. Liars and fires and cares, oh my. And this morning I want to focus on the liars. I believe that one of the first lions that you're going to have to go after, remember it said when the lion would show up on the scene, David would go after it. He would get after it. He wouldn't shrink back or hold back. He understood that there was something at stake, and he was on the offensive to go out and to attack that thing. And it implies that as that thing ran, sometimes it would turn on him. And he says, I would take it by the jaw, and I would kill the lion, and I would kill the bear. And I just want to encourage you this morning that one of the first lions you're going to have to go after. If you're going to have the faith to step onto the battlefield of your destiny, are the lies that the enemy has spoken over you. The lies that you have spoken over yourself. The lies that others have spoken over you about God, about God's ability to see you through to your future. So look, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Turn to the New Testament, kind of back towards the back of the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 5. They'll put it up behind me as well. And did you know that the Bible describes your enemy, Satan? Listen, there's a battle over your destiny. And much of it takes place in your mind. There's a battle. And did you know that the word describes our enemy in several ways? And one of them is that he's like a roaring lion. And 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says it this way. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And in the King James, or New King James, it says it this way, be sober, be vigilant, it says, because your adversary, the devil, listen, he's your adversary. He's opposing, he's resisting, he's defeated, but there's still a battle that you must be engaged in. And it says he goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I think this is interesting. It does not say can devour, it says may devour. And it doesn't say can, because can would imply an ability for him to do it. But it says he may destroy. And I want to encourage you this morning, his opportunity to prey on you is determined by the level that you agree with the lies and deceptions that he brings into your life. And so as the people of God, we've got to be trained up in the word of God and the heart of God and walk by the spirit of God so that we can begin to discern when it's the voice of the enemy introducing a lie or a deception into our life. His ability, it says, he's seeking whom he may devour. And I'm just telling you, as the people of God, we fight this battle from a position of victory. But the enemy is crafty, the word of God says. And it started from the beginning. Right in Genesis chapter 3, Satan came to the woman and he said, did God really say? And down in verse 11, God comes to Adam and Eve and he says, who told you that you were naked? See, the enemy comes and he introduces a lie. He questions God and he questions God's word and he questions, is God really who he said he was? And he questions, did God really say this that he said? And will God really do what he said? Listen, we have better be careful who we listen to and learn to discern God's voice. And especially in the day and the age and the world that we live in, where confusion and compromise are increasing all around us, we've got to begin to train ourselves to understand and learn and listen and discern. Listen, is that thing I'm hearing, is it a lie from the enemy, or is it the truth of God's word and God's heart and God's future for me? Especially in this day that we live in. Listen, this was probably around 2003, 2004. I was single. At that time, I might have met my beautiful wife. She and her family had come into the church that my parents had planted in Abilene, Texas, West Central Texas, in the year 2000. And I had moved there just to serve and support the vision of my parents. And I just served, you know. I mean, I took a job for a guy in the cattle business. I never intended to work with cows, but I did. And I know you guys think everyone in Texas did, but it's not true. It's really not true. But I did. And I had a farming background, but I don't know what all God was doing. But I took a job for this guy in the cattle business. And for 3 years, I just worked. I drive all through the night to just come back to play a guitar that was muted in the mix and a microphone that was muted. You know, I mean, I was just learning how to lead worship and be a part of a church, but I was excited, I was grateful, and it led to the opportunity for me to become part of the team there for the church in Abilene. And one day I was sitting in my office, and the phone rang, and someone patched it through to me, and I took the phone call, and I just could not believe what the conversation that proceeded. It was a woman who was in our church kind of casually, and she said, Pastor Thomas, can I have a few moments of your time? And I said, sure you can, you know. And she began to share something that she believed that the Lord had spoken to her. And here's what it was. She said, I believe the Lord has shown me that my daughter, who lives in Washington State, is supposed to divorce her husband, move to Texas, and marry you. And I said, you believe God's told you what? I thought, am I being punked? Like, when's Ashton Kutcher going to come out, you know? And I said, you believe what? And she said, I believe God's told me that my daughter's supposed to divorce her husband, move here from Washington State, and marry you and become your wife. And I just said, listen, can I just tell you? I believe you. You might have heard that from some spirit, but that was not the spirit of God. That's not God's will. That's not God's heart. That's not God's will for me. That's not God's will for her. That's not God's will for her husband. I don't know where they are and what they're up against, but that is not from God. And I'm just telling you, that's an extreme example, but the enemy comes in. A lot of times, stuff that we get swept into and caught up in, and that leads to really difficult situations in our life, starts with just a lie, a voice that speaks to us. And as the people of God, we've got to become trained in the Word of God and walking by the Spirit of God and walking in relationship with other believers. Where when we hear something, we begin to understand whether it's the voice of the enemy trying to get us off track or whether it's the voice of God trying to further and prepare us for our destiny. Listen, I've had other people tell me that God told them to leave their wife and their kids. And I just, it's so easy, you know, it's just like, God did not tell you that. And the Bible says that the Word became flesh. And so, you know, there's, even before you know the entirety of the Bible, we need to be people of God's Word. Come on, praise God. We need to be people that are in God's Word daily and learning God's Word and writing it on our heart and living it out. But even before you get to know and begin to memorize and write God's Word on your heart, the Bible says that the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. And you can almost always just think about, what would Jesus do? Come on, not the wristband. What would Jesus do? What is this Jesus' heart? Because Jesus came and he lived a sacrificial life. He laid down his life. He took the blame for others who deserved punishment and took it upon his own self. So that he became poor so that we might become rich. And so those situations are extreme examples, and they're easy ones to just say, listen, we got to back up, because wherever it was that you heard that, that was not the voice of God. That's the voice of the enemy trying to lead you into a deception that will lead you to destruction. They're extreme examples, but listen, in a world that's increasingly confused, in a world that increasingly compromises the Word of God for our own benefit and our own happiness and our own personal satisfaction, our own selfish agendas, we need to train ourselves to know God's Word and God's heart. And we need to train ourselves to recognize the enemy of your soul when he comes around prowling and looking for whom he may devour and destroy. And it often starts with just a lie, a deception, a word to try to intimidate you. We've got to know God's Word. We've got to begin to embrace and pursue a relationship with the Holy Spirit, whom John 16:13 says is the Spirit of truth, and helps us to understand all that God has made possible and available to you and to me, 1 Corinthians 2:12. You've got to be careful who you're listening to. Come on, it's time to think about what you're thinking about. And oftentimes what you're thinking about is determined by what you're listening to and who you're hanging around. And Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that faith is the evidence of things that are hoped for and the substance of things that are yet to be seen. Listen, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you need to begin to hear yourself speaking and declaring the Word of God over your life. You need to begin to hear yourself. That's why it's so powerful and important when we gather together in this place. And we praise and we worship and we sing those songs saying, I've seen you move the mountains. I believe you'll do it again. You're establishing a prophetic atmosphere of faith. You're doing so much more than just singing a good song. There's a corporate unity, but there's a personal atmosphere over your heart and your life, and you're speaking and you're singing into it. And the sound of the people of God is establishing an atmosphere of faith that's being built up as you hear those words sung into the atmosphere over our lives. Faith is believing. Faith is hearing the Word of God and believing that what God says is true and will come to pass. Fear is hearing something else and believing that that will come to pass. Both are a present tense condition tied to a future expectation. Fear is not based in a reality. Fear is based in an expectation. It's a present tense perspective of what you're expecting to happen. And what you believe and expect about your future in God and in your life is often determined by what you choose to meditate upon in your heart. And what you choose to meditate upon in your heart and in your mind is often shaped by what you choose to hear and what you position yourself to listen to. Listen, there's a lot at stake here, people of God. Marriages and families and futures have been forsaken and destroyed because at some point someone listened and believed a lie from an adversary that goes around seeking and prowling whom he may destroy. He's so good. Listen, you need to understand. Hear me. We are in a battle, but we battle from a position of victory. Amen? But you have an adversary, and God wants us to know about his tricks and his schemes. There are some things that God shows us, and the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar, and he's so good at what he does that sometimes he'll even produce physical evidence to support his lies. You remember when Joseph, his brother, sold him into slavery? Remember what they did? They sold him into slavery, and then they took his robe that his father had given him and would recognize as coming off the back of Joseph, and they went and they killed an animal and they put blood on it and they took it to Joseph's father, and they said, Joseph is dead. Was Joseph really dead? It was a lie. But the enemy is so crafty and so cunning, he'll even produce evidence to present to you. And he'll say, you didn't marry the right person. And he'll say, see? He'll say, you're not going to get to that dream or that destiny. And he'll say, see the MRI? He's so good at what he does, he can even produce physical evidence. How many of you know, as the people of God, as the people of Jesus, as the people of God's word, we are called to walk by faith and not by sight. Come on, just because you see it, don't believe it. Just because you see it, don't believe it. What are the places in your life where it looks one way, but today in faith, God's saying, don't believe it, don't buy into it. It's just the evidence that an adversary of your soul is presenting to try to knock you off track and get you to believe a lie. Later on, Joseph had survived the pit, and he was in the palace, and Potiphar's wife, the king whom Joseph was serving and serving well and prospering, was that Joseph was well built and he was handsome, and it says that Potiphar's wife came to him and made advances upon him. Come on, Joseph had a Me Too moment. A hashtag Me Too moment. She came and she began to try to seduce him in the workplace. And it's, the Bible says that Joseph fled, and as he fled, she grabbed onto his cloak, and she had evidence to support a lie. That's what I'm just telling you. Just because you see it, don't believe it. The enemy is so cunning and he's so crafty. He'll lie to you and he'll present evidence and say, see, look, that they don't really care about you. If they did, this wouldn't happen. Look, God doesn't care about you. If he did, why would he allow this to happen? Just because you see it, don't believe it. Listen, you're called to walk by faith and not by sight. If we're going to walk by faith, we have to be people of God's word, and we have to be hearing and abiding in God's word. You know, a lot of times there's scriptures that we appreciate, but we kind of cut and paste the part that makes us feel good. And John 8:32 says, you'll know the truth and the truth shall make you free. You know what verse 31 says? It says, if you abide in my word. If you abide in my word. And listen, it's not legalistic, it's an invitation. It's an invitation. If you abide in my word. If you abide in my word. If you abide in my word. Listen, this, I love that word abide. I think we should be memorizing scripture and those kind of things, but that's not what Jesus said. He said, abide in it. He said, make it a part of the fabric of your life. Make it foundational in your life. Abide in this. Draw your strength from it. Live from it. See it so much differently. There's an invitation from God to abide, to find our source, to find our strength, and to live our life from the truth of God's heart for you that's revealed to you through his word. And listen, I'm just saying that once again, for revival, you've heard me say it before. For revival to happen, a lot of things need to be revisited. And revisiting God's word and beginning to prioritize it in our lives as believers is one of the things that the people of God need to revisit. We need to begin to abide in God's word. We need to see it differently as an invitation. It's not a legalistic requirement. It's not a religious requirement. Listen, how many of you know that you can read? Let me just share my own testimony. I can read God's word and not be abiding from it. There's been times where I've read a chapter or a whole chapter or two, and then at the end, I couldn't tell you a word I just read because my mind was already thinking about the things I had to do with the rest of my day. Come on, am I alone in that? Anyone else? And the invitation is not just to read the word or study the scripture or whatever. It's to begin to abide. It's to begin to draw your source from it. It's to begin to experience the life that God wants to connect you to that's found in his word. Live in it. Listen, I read something recently. Because here's the thing. There are challenges to that life. There's challenges to that life. Everyone, come on, who in this room is not busy? Who has just lots of free time on your hands? Let me see your hand. Who's just looking for things to do and add to your calendar and your schedule? Come on, if that's you, I didn't see a single hand go up. Was there anyone? Jacob Hammer right there. Jacob, come on. I got kids you need to pick up from baseball practice on Tuesdays, basketball practice on Thursdays, gymnastics on Wednesdays. He just gave the thumbs down sign. He's not interested in that. He thought it was going to be fun stuff. This is always going to be challenged. It's where the cares, liars and fires and cares, the cares of life, all the stuff, some of it even good stuff, that comes and steals our attention and our focus and keeps us from being a people of God's word. And I read something. Can I ask the worship team to come up and prepare to help us dismiss and minister? And I recently saw something that someone put on Facebook, which is kind of ironic based on what I'm about to share with you. And this was posted on Facebook, and this person, this friend of mine, said, "I've come to a realization that Facebook is actually created by God to determine which of us really does and doesn't have time to pray and read the Bible." Now listen, I'm not telling you not to be on social media. Come on, go into that world and redeem it for God's purposes, amen? And use it to strengthen relationships and things and stay in touch with people. But he said, I believe Facebook was invented of God, and he's got a timer somewhere in heaven. He's logging the time that we're spending on Facebook so that when we get there and we say, "God, I would have done this that you called me to. I would have spent time with you. I would have read the Bible. I would have been on my knees in prayer, but I was too busy." He can say, "Oh, really?" Hours spent watching cat videos. Right here, you know. Hours spent watching car crashes. Listen, it's not legalistic, it's an invitation. It's an invitation. And I don't believe God's logging your Facebook time, by the way. But I do believe he cares about your priorities. And I do believe that the life that you live and the level of intimacy and joy and peace and favor and purpose that you live out in your relationship with God will be directly connected to your priorities. And I believe that it's part of what God's calling us to as a church, and each of us as men and women and young people in God, he's calling us to draw nearer. He's calling us to grow closer. He's calling us to go deeper. And it's not just so that we become more pious or religious, it's because he's got an amazing purpose for your life. He's got lions and he's got bears and he's got giants that he wants to train you up in faith to go, come on, it's not just all about you. He's got some things that he wants to deliver you to victory so that you can, come on, when David stepped on that battlefield and he said, "Who is this giant that's defied the living God and the armies of Israel?" And he reached into his shepherd's pouch and he got that rock out, and stirred by the faith from the pasture, he put it in his sling and he slung that thing and he ran towards that giant and he hit him in the forehead and that giant fell. If you read the next part, it says that the army of Israel was stirred in their faith and they began to run into victory. God's got some lions and some bears that he's training you with because he's got some giants that he's calling you to. In your marriage, in your home, in your workplace, in this church, in this city. But you have an adversary who lies, who deceives, who intimidates, who opposes all that God has for you. And I just wonder if there's anyone this morning in this place who wants to step out in faith and just wants to say, "God, I'm choosing today to, in a fresh or a new way, begin to prioritize you in my life. I'm choosing today to begin to seek in a new way, in a fresh way, what you have to say about every area of my life. I'm choosing today to begin to, in a fresh or a new way, remind myself about what your word has to say about my life, about my health, about my finances, about my marriage, about that dream, about that hope, about that destiny that I believe you've called me to." Is there anyone in this place today who would recognize some places where the enemy maybe has come in and he's sown a lie that you've perhaps believed, and it's caused you to shrink back or hold back or be intimidated from becoming the person, the man, the woman of God that he's made possible for you to become? Come on, if you fit in any of those categories or anywhere in between, can we do what I believe God honors and respond in faith by just standing to our feet and saying, God, I want more of you. I'm prioritizing you in this season. What Pastor T's been talking about, drawing nearer, growing closer, going deeper. I want some of that for my life. And I believe that as we stand in faith today, there's also some things that God wants to break off of you. I believe there's some lies of the enemy that God wants to deliver you from today. And so, Lord, I thank you. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know if it was something that a parent said, if it was something that the enemy just introduced into your life. But whatever that is, that label, that identity that was spoken over you, that you've held on to, and it's caused you to become more of that thing than what God's made and called you to be. I thank you, Lord, this morning, by your Spirit and because of your great love and because of your mercy towards us, because of your grace towards us, Lord, I thank you for just revealing it to us, Lord. And now, God, I pray, wherever, come on, if that's you this morning, I just want to encourage you, respond in faith. And I think that's, you've already stood, maybe that's just holding your hands out before the Lord and saying, Lord, that thing I've held on to, that lie, that deception, that thing that's influenced my identity, that thing that's told me, that thing that's come in question, did God really say, is God really who he said he is? Will God really do? I'm holding that thing before you this morning, and I'm letting it go, I'm laying it down, and I'm in a new and fresh way picking up, Lord, what your heart is, what your word says, what your will is in that area. Lord, I thank you that there's some people here this morning who have seen themselves as insignificant. And I thank you today, Lord, that you are speaking destiny and purpose over them, that you call them sons and daughters. I thank you, Lord, that there's some people here that it was spoken over them that they would never amount to something. And I thank you that you're reminding them this morning that you formed and fashioned them even in their mother's womb with a purpose and a destiny for your kingdom. I thank you, Lord, this morning there's some people who have been riddled with fear of premature death or cancer or some kind of a diagnosis that's caused them to walk and live in anxiety and fear of their future. I thank you today, God, that you're breaking that assignment of the enemy off of their life in Jesus' mighty name. I thank you, Lord God, that today, Lord, there's some people who have been riddled with anxiety because of just inferiority, God. And I thank you today, Lord, that you would just set them free from that and help them to see, Lord, it's not by their own might or their own strength that they're going to get there anyways. It's by your Spirit. It's by serving you. It's by putting and keeping you first in our lives. And Lord, I thank you today that you're strengthening us as your people to put you first. You're calling us to evaluate our priorities, God. You're calling us to put you in your rightful place and to get the Bible out once again in a fresher new way and begin to dig in and pour into it, God, that you're going to begin to meet with us in those moments and you're going to begin to sharpen and shape, Lord, our understanding of what all is possible in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that there are some lions and there are some bears that have come and roared and caused us to shrink back and hold back. You're bringing fresh faith this morning to wrestle those things, to grapple with those things, to go after those things, to begin to run after the giants in our life and to begin to bring those things down, God, so that we and our families and our church and this city will begin to see and know that there is a God in Israel, there is a God named Jesus who we serve, who delivers his people from trials and tribulations and from fires, who speaks louder than the liars and the voices of deception and intimidation, and who meets our needs as we build and seek your kingdom first. And we thank you for that, Father, this morning in Jesus' name. We thank you for that this morning in Jesus' name. Now, I want the team to lead us in that song, Let Faith Rise Up in Me. And I want to open the altar here as we just sing this song and prepare to close. And this morning, if God's still stirring something in your life, if God's still speaking, if there's something that you still feel like the Holy Spirit would want to just set you free from, a lie, a deception, something that has attached itself to you and your identity, I want you to just continue to step out and expect in faith. And part of how you can do that is just coming to the front and just kneeling before the Lord and just laying that thing down and making a commitment not to take it with you outside of these doors today. So come on, let's worship. Let's worship. Let's trust the Lord to continue to minister to us. And then here in a few minutes, Pastor Eli will come and bring the altar ministry team forward and dismiss us and release us about our day. Come on, team. Sing that out. Let faith rise. Come on.